Here, daffodils are coming up. We have pictures of puppies coming up all over our Facebook memory feeds. And, you know me, I love puppies. And one of my favorite things was giving these puppies a bath. Because what would happen, and of course, Carrie would actually do most of the bathing. I got to do most of the drying. But after the drying, man, you would see these little guys rip through the house. And it was just the best thing in the world. And they'd shake and they'd, you know, they hate some of them. You never knew. Some loved the bath. Some hated the bath. But they were frolicking and happy and glad to be alive and clean. The puppy equivalent of the Nakey dance. If you've ever had a two-year-old, you know what it is. Fresh out of the tub and clean and running down the hall. My brothers actually made it out the front door when the school bus was pulling up one day. And the only word that they knew was, "Mommy." So they yelled that at my sister as she was getting off the bus, and they ran toward her. She was not happy. Anyhow, you know, sometimes you just feel that way when you get out of the shower. But Carrie tells me I can't do it. The neighbors would get upset as well. So anyhow, what does any of this have to do with Lent? A friend of mine, Don Long, wrote, "When we repent of our shortcomings, we get a good soaking. And the result of knowing we have clean hearts and souls, a right spirit helps us feel refreshed, revived, joyful." In other words, a soul that turns to God to repent is a blessed soul and a joyful soul, a happy soul. And that's where our scripture goes this morning. It is a psalm all about God's blessings, and it shows us how to ask for them. But also, we're going to jump briefly into our New Testament this morning. The thing we must never forget is that there is real joy in repentance. God designed it that way. If we miss that, we miss everything. And once we go there, oh. So, before we go to our psalm, we have to go to the one right before it because it sets up so well what is about to happen next. And our psalm is Psalm 67, but I'm going to read to you from the last three verses of Psalm 66, which was in our reading last week. Again, we're continuing with our plan of reading through the Old and New Testament. So, Psalm 66, verses 18 through 20, here we go. "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. If I cherish sin in my heart," it's the very opposite of repentance, right? And that is the very nature of our struggle at times, is it not? Now on to Psalm 67, verse 1. "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us." When you see that wording in the Old Testament, it's such an indication of God's favor. It's his love that turns to us. And again, "make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." So do you see what's happening when you juxtapose those two psalms together? Once our sins are forgiven, and we know that God's face shines on us with mercy and with love, we want to share his goodness with others as well. We can't keep it in. It's the very opposite of what happens when, you know, grandpa falls asleep, he's taking his nap, and one of his grandkids smears stinky cheese under his nose, and he wakes up and he says, "This room stinks." And he walks out of the room and he says, "This house stinks." And he walks out the door and he says, "This whole world stinks." But when you know you are blessed and you know who has blessed you, you want the world to know. You can't keep it in. And Psalm 67 fits with another reading from this week, Romans 15, which may have seemed to come out of nowhere for you if you were looking at the plan, right? But it's all about sharing the good news of Jesus with non-Jewish people. Remember these words from Psalm 67, repeated in verses 3 and verse 5. May all the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Now that's a radical thought. Now listen to Romans 15, verse 8. Where Paul is trying to make peace between Jewish and non-Jewish believers in Jesus. And what was going on in Rome, by the way, was that one of the Roman emperors had, in about AD 48, he had expelled Jews from Rome. And of course, the earliest Christians were Jews. And so many Christians were also expelled from Rome at that time. But the church continued to grow, and there began to be an increasing number of non-Jewish or Gentile believers in the church in Rome. And so eventually they come back. And then there are some differences about, well, how do we do things in the church? Do we do them in a Gentile way, or do we do them in a Jewish way? And then there were those within the church who were fomenting kind of this unrest, because they were saying, no, you've absolutely got to do it the Jewish way because Christianity is a Jewish religion. And Paul, who was sent as a Jew to the Gentiles, is saying, no. There is one thing that matters here. It's not the rituals of the past. So he says in verse 8, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name.'" Here he starts quoting the Old Testament. Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him." Sound familiar? And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, so what does any of this have to do with us? Well, first, it's good to know where we've come from, but secondly, would you like to be blessed? Blessed in the best sense of the word, not with stuff. But with him. That's what this is about. when the psalmist is writing about how to pray for blessings. This is where he's going. It starts with repentance. Turning from anything that we know to be wrong and asking for God's help to do that. Asking for God to wash away our sin and for his help to overcome it. And the beauty of what he can do within a soul that turns to him. By the way, that's why I put this picture back on the front of the bulletin. We had it on there maybe a year or so ago. You remember it? If you take a close look, by the way, this is a painting from northern Germany, not from Holland. In northern Germany, they also wore wooden shoes. Take a look. You can see the guy having the wooden shoes, right? Right there. He is inviting Jesus into their home for mealtime, and the prayer is from the German, Komm Herr Jesu, sei du unser Gast und segne uns, was du uns geschert hast, which is literally, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and bless to us what you have shared with us. And these are universal truths that a people, wherever they may be, when they meet God, when they know him, when they turn from their sins, they find themselves blessed. And when you have asked for forgiveness and you mean it, he blesses you to know that his face really does shine on you. That's the beauty of it. That's why Paul reminds us that the God of hope can fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. To overflow with hope. Has nothing to do with basketball games and how they turn out. It is so much more. In spite of our past, in spite of our sins or our mistakes, to know that we are loved. So loved. That the one who knows us better than we know ourselves would give up the very thing that we cling to, our own lives, so that he could pour life into us. I think part of the meaning of the repetition between verse 3 and 5 of Psalm 67 that we just read, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. In between that, you know, may all the nations praise you. May all the peoples praise you. Then may the nations be glad and sing for joy. That repetition. Yeah. When you know that God is on the throne, everything else is put in perspective. So Psalm 118:6 tells us, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's with this kind of confidence that we are so deeply loved that we can go ahead and tell others about it. We can go ahead and be open about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, because what have they got by comparison? You want to know how to compare? Go to a funeral. if the peace of God hasn't been in the hearts and lives of those families, giving them hope. There is despair so deep. And if they've simply lived for the moment and lived for lesser things and the stuff money buys that later ends up in a thrift store, there's just emptiness. But if there is the presence of the Spirit of God at work in a soul, because of repentance, because of saying, you know what? I need, Jesus, what only you can do for me. I need you, and this is so much bigger than me. I need to be saved. He meets us there, and praise comes when he does. And there's no joy that the world can give that can possibly compare. There is no high that a substance can give that could possibly compare. There is no pleasure that this world may offer that could possibly compare with the beauty of the work of God within our spirits. May all the peoples praise you. I mean, I'm telling you, that's the nakey dance before Abba Father. I'm clean, you know me, but you've washed me. And I'm good, not because of myself, but because of you. Psalm 67, the land yields its harvest. Last verses, verse 6. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Again, do you see this connection between being loved and forgiven, between not cherishing sin in our heart and then coming to God and being met with his forgiveness and then wanting to share it and then living blessed because you know it and because he can show you. There are blessings that God longs to give you and me that are just for you, that are just for me, that are in the moment. And some of those blessings, yes, sometimes they can be material things. I mean, God does bless his people, but the preachers who make it all about that are so lost, I don't know where to begin with them. Because again, he's the greatest blessing of all. But because he's the creator of all things, he can meet us wherever he wants to. You just want to be in that place. That place of his favor, that place where his face shines upon you. And it's the blessings of his Spirit which last forever, that you and I never want to lose, and we want to come into those more and more. And he will show us, but to find them, we have to do what? Seek. And to seek his face. And as we seek him in that relationship, the joy of knowing him just exudes. Because it's like, you got to tell someone. You got to tell someone. That's at the heart of what Jesus talks about when he talks about the pearl of great price, the treasure in a field, or the lost son, or the lost coin. Yeah. Nothing better. Nothing better. Knowing that his Holy Spirit is alive within you, and praising him for it. Oh. God blesses us and will bless us still. Because we will go on forever in that place of blessing as we know him. May we pray. Lord, we want to be blessed. We want to be blessed. And we affirm that you are the greatest blessing of all. Nothing could possibly compare. You are the Father of heavenly lights, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. But Lord, we don't just want the gifts. Abba, Father, we want to know that we're yours. And we don't want any sin to come between us, but that's the problem, Lord. We love our sins. And so we ask for help to love you more. To love you more. And we ask your help to repent of our sins and turn from them and to despise them so that you alone define what is good in our lives. Help us in this, Abba Father. Jesus, thank you. This is why you came, to take the penalty of our sins on yourself, so that we could be in a perfect relationship with you, with God, through your Spirit. If there's anyone within the sound of my voice this morning who doubts this, ask him, just ask him to make it clear to you. Or if you have come into the place where you're saying, yes, I want this, know that is his Spirit working on you. Because he wants to bless you and bring you into joy in himself. And if you ask him, oh, cleanse me of my sins through what you did on the cross. I want you, I receive you, I want to receive you. You pray that from a place of desperation, he will meet you there every time. But all it takes is once. Lord, thank you that your love will never let us go. We praise you for the beauty of who you are and why you have come. We worship you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great prayer. Take my will. Take my will and make it thine. In other words, help me to want what you want. Now, I'm afraid I've shortchanged you this morning. It's 12:03, and we started at 12:05. Am I right? But take these things with you this week. Pray into them. Live into them. Our congregational meeting is next. Feel free to stick around. Feel free to go mingle out there. But we'll give you an update on the past year and all of that. But God bless us. Lord, bless us to be blessed. To turn from our sins and ourselves, to turn to you and recognize in you the greatest blessing of all. To come to you for salvation and know the beauty of those who have been saved, not through anything that they've done, but entirely through your goodness. May your face shine upon us, Lord. May your face shine upon us so much that we reflect it and others see it in us and love you and turn to you too. May this be our life this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.